So we Hey, Cohen's a jobbing off my Chinese house. Two ducks in my spyglass, fatty as a mouse. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature.
Welcome to Yarns at Yin Hu, a podcast about the fiber arts and other post-apocalyptic skills. Episode 21, Introducing Gertrude. January 4th, 2014. I'm your host, Sarah, podcasting from Yinhu Chaoyuan, Silver Lake Tea House. Show notes for this episode can be found on my website, yarnsatyinhu.com. You can also join in the Yarns at Yinhu conversation on Ravelry by joining the Yarns at Yinhu group. This week's episode will include the following segments: The Back Porch, Double Happiness, The Front Porch, and ever-expanding skill set. This week, I heard from listeners Chris Cravens, Jamie McDonough, Lynn862, Brenda Buckley, and Feltaria, who's Fee from Cheltenham in the UK. I also had the Christmas present of a new iTunes review from Chain of Fools, who is Emily of the Fibertown podcast. Thanks, Emily. Today, we're closing our Little Things contest, and we had over 20 entries about how to stay de-stressed during the holidays. The thread was really helpful, and I know a lot of other folks were clicking on the love button, not just me. Our winner was number 12, who's Camarina, and Camarina posted that she liked to listen to and sing Christmas music while driving, and she also liked drinking hot chocolate and lighting candles around the house to help de-stress around the holidays. Camarina, please send me a personal message on Ravelry with your mailing information so I can pass that along to Sherry from Spinners End Farm, and she will send you a variety of lovely handmade goodies to pamper yourself during the cold and dreary month of January. Thanks to everyone who entered the Little Things contest, and a special thank you to Sherry and Spinners End Farm for contributing the prize. The Back Porch. Ever since completing the spinning of my fiber optic merino silk gradient, I've been itching to knit something with that hand spun. And my initial idea was to knit the Claude shawl by Stephen West, which appeared in the color issue of Ply magazine. However, I did not come out with enough yardage to knit that shawl. So I decided to knit the Daybreak. I made the small version of the Daybreak, and I used US size 5 needles instead of the recommended 4. So the shawl was a little bit larger, and I was able to complete the pattern as written, and it worked out really well. The most nerve-wracking thing was breaking the yarn. I had chain plied the fiber optic gradient so that I could retain the color progression from honey to the deep dark fig color. And what I wanted to do was create a shawl that started with the dark yarn in the blues and the purples, and then introduce the honey colored with the stripes, and then keep that going and end with some very dark browns. When you're thinking about how to break the yarn and ball it up so that all of this will be possible, there are a number of calculations involved. And after thinking and calculating and recalculating, maybe this isn't difficult for everyone, but it was difficult for me to think about how exactly it would all work out. And it managed to work out the way I envisioned it. One of the things I wanted to try while knitting this shawl was to get complementary colors to play off one another. And by breaking the yarn and knitting it the way I did, I was able to get the contrast and complement of blues and yellows, and then a little bit later in the pattern of orange and purple to play against one another. I really like the way that came out. The pattern is written for 12 stripes, 12 alternating stripes, and I was able to get 11, which I'm very pleased with. And on my project page is a picture of the completed shawl. I used the Russian bind-off for this shawl, which I heard about from Paula on the Knitting Pipeline podcast. And it gives it a nice substantial bind-off and a fifth purl ridge, which completes the shawl very nicely. The second project that I completed since the last episode is a Bitsy Baby Beanie. This is a pattern by Ellen Silva of the Twin Set Designs podcast, and it's designed for preemies and newborns. And the reason I chose this pattern is that in January, I tried to devote a significant amount of my knitting time to some charity projects. Before the holidays, I spend a lot of time knitting for friends and family. And in February and March, I do some projects for myself. But in January, I try to spend a lot of time thinking about how to use my craft to benefit others. And I came across a project called Click for Babies. And it's an initiative to develop awareness, especially in new parents, of something called the period of purple crying. And purple is just an acronym that explains the aspects of crying in relatively young infants. Some behaviors that parents don't necessarily expect when their baby seems to be crying past the point of being consolable. And there are some health risks, including shaken baby syndrome, that accompany this period of purple crying. So having purple hats is one way, in conjunction with an education program, to remind parents about safe behaviors in caring for their new babies. And the hats that are made for this charity need to be at least 50% in purple yarn, which I happen to have some leftover yarn. And Ellen's pattern calls for an Aran weight yarn. So it was a great match, and I plan to make several more of these as well as share the pattern with some other folks, and I'll talk about that a little bit later in the podcast. I used size 7 DPNs for this project, and I had a little bit of green yarn. In Ellen's pattern, she has a little bit of a stripey feature that is optional, but I thought it looked really cute. And I completed one hat for the Click for Babies project. So I want to thank Ellen for putting that pattern out there and giving me a vote of confidence and support also in choosing the charity that I did. And I hope this is just the first hat of many for that project. Double happiness. Well, this holiday season, it was nice to give and nice to receive. I've never had any doubt that my family is knit-worthy, but I haven't made hand-knitted gifts for everyone in my family before. It's usually just been my mom and my sisters. This year, I expanded to making gifts for the men in my family. And it was incredibly rewarding because they liked their gifts too. And it makes me even more excited to keep knitting for everyone next year. Hopefully I won't run out of ideas for new and interesting things to make for them and to personalize things. So it's really something special for each person I'm giving it to. I still have a few Christmas gifts to give because there are a couple very special people that I haven't seen yet, but I'm looking forward to doing that. And my family and friends just overwhelmed me with their generosity because this Christmas I received a lot of gifts perfect for a knitter. And I won't talk about all of them, but there are a couple that I want to highlight because they're going to make it a lot easier for me to take photographs and participate on the Ravelry boards and also to record the show. So I received in no particular order, but these are some gifts for a fiber lover that I was very grateful to receive this Christmas. I received the Fleece and Fiber Source Book, which has been a lot of fun to look through. I have now a glass head to model hats so I don't have to stretch them over the ceramic lamps on my porch anymore. I have a pair of sock blockers. I have a dress form, an adjustable dress form on a very heavy metal stand. It's a vintage form and it's really cool. She is named Gertrude after a great aunt of mine who is very well endowed. And she's already been very busy modeling some shawls and scarves and things. And I also received a needle case from a company called Crippenworks, who's on Etsy. I will post a link in the show notes on my blog. This needle case is very well made and very well designed, and I was able to put both straight double points and circulars in this needle case. Everything's nicely organized. I have my crochet hooks in there too. And finally, a set of really superior headphones to help me with recording my podcast because I had been sticking my earbuds in my ears. And Samuel decided, from a musician's standpoint, that was just not acceptable. So I have this fantastic pair of headphones now. And I hope that results in a little better quality audio when you hear the podcast because I'll be able to hear things a little more clearly when I'm mixing it down. Before the holidays, there was a lot of talk on Ravelry about whether people's friends and family were knit-worthy or not. So I'm very pleased to find how many people in my little circle are knit-worthy. And I hope that everyone who gave crocheted and knitted gifts this holiday season saw that their things were well-received. Because that's the best feeling in the world, to give a gift and know that the recipient is truly happy to receive it. The front porch. It seems like the thing to do at the beginning of a new year is to look back on past progress and make plans for future projects. So the front porch this episode will be dedicated to a little walk down memory lane and a look ahead to what's in store for me in 2014. I found a post that I made in January of last year about things I wanted to accomplish in 2013. And though I remembered making the post, I really didn't recall each specific thing I had put on the list, and I hadn't really thought about it much over the past year. But when I found it, I realized that in committing these things to writing and putting them on the board, I really was making a kind of emotional commitment to accomplishing them over the course of the year. So the list in order is: number one, learn to knit socks. Number two, learn how to change color in a piece of knitting. Number three, attend knit night at my local yarn store and make new knitting friends. Number four, go to Rhinebeck. Number five, continue to grow the membership in a club I advise at my school called String Theory. And number six, knit a Christmas gift for Samuel. And amazingly, I was able to accomplish all of those things in 2013. Before I found this list and I looked over everything, I was feeling a little bit dismissive of making all of these knitting resolutions and coming up with a list of accomplishments. When I looked at the list and realized that I had accomplished all those things, it made me a little more interested in creating a list for 2014. And since six things seemed to work, I came up with six goals for myself for 2014. Number one, to knit a sweater. Number two, try felting. Number three, try new yarn and fiber from new-to-me purveyors. Number four, attend a knitting retreat. Number five, record 45 podcast episodes by August. And that would be in keeping with my intention to record 45 episodes this year. And number six, to host a knit-along. I don't know what to really say about all of those things, except that starting this podcast has made me a lot more mindful of what I am accomplishing, the goals I'm setting for myself, the pace of my progress on projects, and it's made me more reflective about my achievements and also my mistakes. So it will be interesting to see how and whether I achieve all of these goals. I don't think necessarily achieving the goals is as important as having goals and working towards something. And it's also interesting being in education, the whole process of making New Year's resolutions is a little bit, I don't know, I think it's a little bit different for people in education because the start of the year isn't January 1. The start of the year is the beginning of the school year, which is typically in mid to late August or the beginning of September. And so my vision of my year and things that I want to accomplish, those things are on two different timelines. There's a timeline for professional accomplishments and goals and a timeline for personal things. I guess that there are a couple different ways to look at that. One is it could be, you know, maybe too much dividing of attention, but the other way to look at it is that there's another opportunity to set goals and to be reflective about your achievements over the course of a year. Something else that is on the horizon is the potential for accomplishing a very specific goal during the Ravelinic Games. This, for folks who've never heard of it before, is something that the knitting community takes up during the Olympics, to have a specific goal or set of goals to achieve during the days of the Olympic Games. I've never participated in this before because I didn't really know about it during the last Olympic Games. I wasn't listening to podcasts. I wasn't really knitting. I think I had just started knitting at that point. So it may be that I'll set one of these goals for myself to take place during the Ravelinic Games. I don't know if it's a good idea or an impending disaster to try and knit my first sweater during the Olympics. And since I don't have television, the Olympics aren't something that I watch on TV. So I don't really know how well that will work out, but I will keep listeners posted on my progress. Ever-expanding skill set. I wanted to develop a set of goals for myself that are outside of knitting and spinning in the fiber arts. And from my friend Christy, who is such an inspiration, I have begun to hold a quote from Carl Jung very near and dear. Christy has this quote on her website, and it's at the bottom of every email she sends. And the quote is this: "Throw your dream out in front of you and walk into the dream." Carl Jung. So I've been thinking about that during the holiday season and at the start of the new year. And I wanted to create a set of culinary challenges for myself. And I invite all of the listeners of Yarns at Yinhu to participate in this challenge that I've set for myself. I want to use the bulk bins at my health food store with more frequency, and I want to purchase things and cook things from the bulk bins that will really expand my culinary horizons. Most of the time when I'm shopping the bulk bins, I'm thinking to myself, wow, this is so much cheaper than buying the packaged item at the regular supermarket. And that's good. However, there are a lot of items in the bulk bins, a lot of different kinds of products that I don't buy at all because I'm not used to cooking with them. And I think to myself, well, I don't really know what I would do with that. And this is the year I'm going to take on the challenge of the bulk bins. So I will be hosting a year-long cook-along. And each month, I will choose a new item from the bulk bins. And I'll spend a month cooking with that product and sharing recipe ideas, disasters, as well as successes with you. And I hope you will all share your ideas as well. So each month on the Ravelry board, I will open a new thread and you're invited to post as many times as you like with different recipe ideas, with photographs of the dishes that you make, suggestions, tips, questions. You can post as many times as you like. And toward the end of each month, I will choose at random one of the posts, and the person who made that post will win a special prize. I don't know what the prizes will be yet. I haven't decided about that, but there will be prizes. And I'd like to get folks talking and really interacting about how they're approaching cooking and food and experimentation in their kitchens. I think I mentioned in an earlier podcast that I believe in improvisational cooking. So for me, recipes are mostly a set of ideas about how to craft a dish. They are not necessarily a set in stone instruction manual. That might be frustrating for a lot of people. I'm not sure. I hope you can put up with it. I also like to develop recipes of my own, and in the past, I haven't written any of this down. So one of the things that I will try to do as I develop new recipes and put together, I guess, amalgamations from different recipe ideas is to commit these things to writing and share them with you so you can try them out if you're interested. January is the month of lentils. In the next episode, I will be sharing at least one cooking experiment with you and letting you know how my trials with lentils have turned out. I've already set up a thread on the Ravelry board and posted a few recipe suggestions. One of them is from Christy, who has Creative Wisdom Wellness. Christy's a certified health coach, and she maintains a really lovely blog. And there just happens to be a recipe suggestion for lentils on her blog. So I linked that, and I also linked that in the show notes on my website. I hope you'll give it a try. In future episodes, I'll also provide some nutritional facts and other information about lentils. I'm really looking forward to this cook-along. I hope you will join me and cook along in 2014.
Acorns are dropping off my Chinese house. Two ducks in my spyglass, fiery as a mouse. It's a subway nature thing.
Thanks for listening. If you liked what you heard in this episode, I hope you will consider joining the Yarns at Yanhu group on Facebook or on Ravelry, or leaving a rating or a review on iTunes. Music for this episode is Sweet, music and lyrics by Samuel St. Thomas, recorded by Krista Long and Cesar Diaz. Eat well and stay strong as you hone your post-apocalyptic skill set this week.
Yes, subway nature thing. Yes, a mighty fine nature thing.
It's a mighty fine nature thing. Sycamore trees are blazing like a rainbow fire, just like Linda Curtis, but I don't know why. It's a subway nature thing. It's a subway nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. Nature's ever get you high till your face is smile. Jump a river naked, hike a country mile. It's a subway nature thing. It's a subway nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.